Would you pray with me? Father, whether because of my words or in spite of them, may your word be spoken this morning. Whether we come with willing ears or stubborn ones, help us to hear. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. What do you want to be? It's a question I don't get asked very much anymore, but there was a time in my life when I got asked that question all the time. And I knew what people were asking when they would ask me that, even though they were not saying it very specifically. They would ask, what do you want to be? What they really meant was, what kind of work do you wish to do when you are an adult? And I hadn't answered that question. I had it earlier than most folks, I think. I was 15 when I first felt sure that God had called me to be a pastor and a preacher. And I knew it must be God because I did not particularly want to be a pastor or a preacher, at least not at first. But soon God wore me down. And by age 16, I knew for sure that it was not only what I felt called to do, but what I wanted to do. And I never really wavered from that afterwards. But I still remember some of the answers that I used to give before that. I had brief moments where I thought, my dad's had a pretty good life. I'd like to do what he does. Either by working in the outdoor space, maybe in wildlife management, or in the journalism space. Dad worked for an outdoor magazine. I thought maybe I'd enjoy being a writer or an editor. There were other times when I thought maybe I'd follow in the footsteps of my mom's dad. Thought I'd really enjoy the reading and the writing, and I thought I would especially enjoy the arguing that goes with being a lawyer. And then there were other times when I had less practical ideas. I had about 2 years somewhere in there where I was quite sure that I was going to be a country singer. I was going to move to Nashville. It was going to work. 12-year-old Michael was quite sure of it. And of course, even though a childhood illness meant that I was always the worst athlete in my class, I was a child of the 90s, and so there were whole weeks at a time when all I wanted to be was like Mike. I had the song from the Gatorade commercials playing on a loop in my head, and I would practice my layups, and I would practice my crossover dribble, and I was sure that one day, I'd figure out how to play basketball well enough that people would want me to do it. But like I said, people don't ask me that very often anymore. It's been a long time since anyone asked me, what do you want to be? Every so often, I'll find myself in a huddle of friends, usually guy friends, for whatever reason, standing in a backyard or beside a pool, maybe watching our kids at a birthday party or something. And someone in the group will ask, so if you couldn't be whatever that you are now, do you ever think about what else you might do? That's almost always how they ask. Well, if you couldn't be, what might you be? It's such a delicate way of asking. It's like they want to give you a way to answer without offering any regret. Well, if you couldn't be, if you weren't, what would you be? You can answer that question without actually having to say whether you wish you were someone else, something different than you are. Whether you'd do it all over again if you really could. That's a little too much to ask for dudes around a backyard fire or poolside. So we ask it more delicately. If you couldn't, do you ever think? Today, I want you, all of you, think about how you can give a simple answer to a simpler question than, well, if you couldn't, in a hypothetical world, do you ever think that maybe you would, possibly, but without expressing any regret? No. There's a simpler answer to a simpler question, to a question that we ask children and we ask graduates and all kinds of people without fear, a kind of question that we are afraid to ask each other past a certain point or a certain age. It's a simple question. What do you want to be? And there's a simple answer that you can give at any age. It's never too late, and it is never too early to give the answer that Jesus gives us here in the scripture today. You can even ask me today, and I will tell you, what do I want to be? I want to be fruitful. That's the challenge that Jesus gave the disciples. It's the life goal he put in front of them as they sat together at what we now call the table of the Last Supper. We don't know how many disciples realized that's what it was, but we know it now. Jesus was there and he was speaking to the disciples and he invited them to think about who they would be after he died and rose again and ascended to the right hand of the Father. When they first started following him, disciples had all kinds of different things that they wanted to be. Peter and Andrew and James and John, they wanted to carry on the family business. They wanted to be fishermen, upstanding citizens and providers for the daily life of the hometown that they knew and loved and where they were known and loved. They wanted to go every day into the market of Capernaum and sell the fish that they had caught and be a part of the fabric of the everyday life of that place. Meanwhile, there was a guy named Matthew who wanted to be a government contractor, making a good living off the Roman regime. And then there was Simon the Zealot, another of Jesus' followers, who wanted to be the hero of the revolution that would tear down the regime that paid Matthew's living. There were women like Mary Magdalene and Mary of Bethany who financed Jesus' ministry because they wanted to sit at the feet of a rabbi. It's like so many men they knew who had been invited to study the Torah and speak of the things of God. They wanted to be what they had never been allowed to be in the presence of anyone else. And all these followers of Jesus wanted to be something different at some point in their lives. And then Jesus came into their lives. And when Jesus showed up, none of them really understood who he might be or who they might become. And all that they really knew was that their old dreams suddenly seemed too small. All they knew was they wanted to be something more. And now, at the Last Supper, in this speech from the book of John, a speech that we now call the farewell discourse. If we spoke Latin, we would call it a valediction speech. That's what valediction means. It means a final word. Jesus is giving his farewell discourse, and he gives them a word about what they should be and what they want to be. And it's this simple. He says, be fruitful. He says, if you bear fruit, your heavenly Father will take care of the rest. If you are fruitful, you'll never waste your life. You'll never find yourself cut off. You'll never have to worry about what will happen to everything you've done and everything you are. You'll never have to worry about whether you could have or you should have been something more or something different. Be fruitful. That's a dangerous thing for us to hear these days. Because if we are not careful, we will hear it as the kind of challenge that we are doomed to fail. We might think that God will judge us on the basis of our accomplishments, by whether we gave more than we took, whether we accomplished more than we demanded from people. We might hear Jesus say, be fruitful, and we might hear him saying, be productive. And then we'd spend our whole life wondering if we'd ever done enough. But that's not how Jesus sees it. And the first clue we get that Jesus measures fruitfulness differently than we do comes when he says how to be fruitful. He says, remain in me as I remain in you. For no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. No branch can bear fruit by itself. So whatever it means to be fruitful, it can't mean that we need to work harder or do it ourselves or earn it. Whatever Jesus means by being fruitful, it can't be the sort of thing that we could measure by comparing ourselves to someone else to see if we had done more than they did. Being fruitful can't mean having better grades than the next person, because that's the sort of thing people can definitely do by themselves. They work harder, or maybe they just have a knack for remembering things. Being fruitful can't be something we measure in our bank accounts or our net worth or by meeting our quarterly goals. Those are all the sorts of things that we can do for ourselves. You can't even measure fruitfulness in what you give way to others, whether that's money or time or talent. Because again, that's something you can choose to do yourself. Let me tell you, I've known a lot of generous people in my life. Let me tell you, it's not hard to figure out which ones are generous, because they are proud of what they do. And those that are generous, because they are so humbled by what God has done for them. Jesus said something about that once. He talked about a woman who gave only 2 pennies to the temple, but who was more generous than some of the richest men in town. If you are afraid that you'll never be fruitful enough, if you are afraid that it is too late or too overwhelming for you to be fruitful, then go back and listen to Jesus again. He says, no branch can bear fruit by itself. So you definitely do not have to do this by working harder. I once heard the pastor, Tim Keel, talk about his experience of reading Psalm 1, verse 3. He found himself reading the Psalms on a day when he was deeply frustrated. The church that he had started and had begun with explosive growth and was doing all kinds of new and wonderful things, it just didn't seem like it had when it first started. He wasn't accomplishing as much as he wanted. Church wasn't growing in numbers the way it had in those first few years. He was trying to figure out, what could we do? Could we do more? Could we accomplish more? How could we reach more? And he opened his Bible to Psalm 1, chapter 1, verse 3, and he read, "Blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord, who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers." And Tim Keel says that when he read that, he realized that he had never seen a tree write out a 5-year plan for becoming more fruitful. If you found the most beautiful, the most abundant, the most fruitful satsuma in all Mobile County, it would not tell you about how hard it worked or how smartly it strategized. If that tree could talk, it would say that no tree bears fruit by its own efforts. It would say that the fruit that matters comes from good soil and fresh water and all the things a tree cannot do for itself. If you ask the Apostle Paul, what does it mean to be fruitful? He would say it's not anything you'll find in a job description or a retirement account. Paul wouldn't mention any of the things that we put on resumes we send to colleges or employers. Instead, he would say the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And he'd say that if any of these things are lacking in your life, you will not find them by trying harder. He'd say you cannot bear these fruits on your own. He'd say they come from being rooted in good soil and fresh water. He'd say that Jesus is the giver of every good gift. So when Jesus commands us to bear fruit, he's not measuring us by our accomplishments. He's saying it is never too late and it is never too little for him to accomplish something amazing in us. He's saying that if all God ever does for you is to make you more loving, more joyful, more peaceful and patient, more kind, good, faithful, gentle, and temperate, then that will outlast all the awards, the certificates, all the gold watches, and all the honors of the world. The only part of you that will matter in heaven is the part that you placed in God's hands. And with that promise, Jesus also adds a warning. He says everything else is going to wither. I tell you, I've been doing this 17 years now. I had a birthday on Friday, so I've been living for 43. 43 years of living and 17 years of pastoring and getting to know other people's lives in ways I never could have imagined. I think that Jesus gives us just about the most perfect word possible for what happens to the folks who want to be something other than fruitful in the Spirit. I'll admit there have been seasons when it happened in my life, and I'll tell you I have seen it happen over the long term of more people than I can say. I have seen souls wither. I've never seen someone lose their soul or lose their heart all at once. I've seen people be devastated. I've seen people be broken. I've seen souls broken in an instant. But even when their heart and their soul was in pieces, they still had it. The only folks I've ever actually seen lose their heart and lose their soul lost it slowly. It was a withering. It was an accumulation of 1,000 times, one after another. But there was too much going on to pray until they realized it had been a day, and then a week, and then a year before they honestly sat before God and said, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." A soul withers when it decides that God's presence is a luxury good. A soul withers when it says, "I'll trust God, I'll praise God, I'll thank God after I've done all I need to do, after I've accomplished everything I can do on my own, after I've got the health I want, the job I want, the resume I want, the life I want, then I'll thank God that I got to get what I want." It never happens all at once, but it always happens. Every time we put our energy first into becoming the greenest, the biggest, the strongest branch on the vine, we have a little less energy for bearing fruit. And eventually we may even mistake ourselves for the vine and cut ourselves off from the vine. And when that happens, we wither. So it doesn't matter what age you are or what milestone you've just passed. There's a simple question that you always have to answer. And there is only one answer that will ever lead to life. What do you want to be? I hope you want to be fruitful. And if you do, I have the best news. I know how. And I bet you do too. Remain in. Your God is already with you, already surrounding you, already giving you everything you need if you'd only plant yourself in it and accept it as a gift. I know what I want to be today and 50 years from now. I want to be an unwithered soul. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.